Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
You've probably read all the media about the issue of loneliness. Apparently, more destructive for our society and for a person than smoking. Now today, we're fortunate to be joined by Martin Walton, Regional Coordinator of Community Connections Program. The Community Connections Program is a way that individuals can get help with their social issues, and Martin's going to tell us all about it. The program actually runs across the whole state, but first off, Martin, what is the Community Connections Program?
The Community Connections Program aims to connect individuals who have become disconnected from the different supports that would be of support to them. I think maybe a helpful way of thinking about disconnection is if one's well-being is impacted. One may realise that something's not quite right, but not be completely aware where the problem actually lies, or perhaps what the solution might be. And then having recognised that, one can take advantage of touching base with the Community Connections Programme, which is that one programme that connects to all others. Because what happens when one rings the Community Connections Program, a worker is allocated, and then over a 12-week time period, and it can be outreach, so if there's a convenient spot that one can meet up, like a local library or cafe, that could be the location. And then the participants can let the worker know what it is that's concerning them, or an area they would like to progress in, because people are always the experts in their own lives. I always think of it as a bit like having a car with a navigator, where the person driving the car, that's the participant. You're always driving your car, it's your life. But with a navigator, sometimes it's handy to get a bit of advice on should one perhaps try left or right, or stop at this garage to load up with fuel before going on a long journey. That kind of thing. So the Community Connections Program aims to connect people with the services that will improve their well-being.
And Martin, who funds this program? Because this is a big initiative and it does run across the whole state.
Yes, it's actually funded by DHS right across the whole of South Australia. So wherever you are in that part of the world, you do have access to the program.
Who is it actually for, Martin? Now, you've said it's about people who have become disconnected, but how do they find themselves in that position? And then who refers them? How do they find out about the Community Connections Program?
Well, I think there's probably as many different reasons that people feel disconnected as there are listeners to this podcast, whether it's housing issues or work issues, relationship issues. There's an infinity list of issues that can impact on us. And I think probably a key sign is if one feels that something is not quite right. You know, one has worries that don't appear to be being resolved, and perhaps the situation is not improving, it's going in the other direction. So when one gets that sensation, it's always good to get someone who's outside the bubble, perhaps, to take a bit of a look and provide potential options which one can then look at, identify which ones to try first, which will then resolve the situation or at least get one closer to one's goal.
So what's the entry point then, Martin? So because a lot of times people don't self-select for something like this. It's got to be suggested to them, or they find themselves perhaps at one of our community centres.
People can in fact refer themselves to the Community Connections Program, and a good way to do that is literally just to hop onto Google and Google the phrase how to access Community Connections Program, which I realise sounds a bit obvious, but rather than giving out an interminable web address, that's what I would do. And the first hit that would come up is the DHS website, and actually it has on it an interactive map. And you can type your address into the search bar, and that will provide you with the phone number and email contact details and website of whoever the local provider is. Now, I work for Lutheran Care, and so I work out of the Tanunda office in the Barossa, and someone could just walk into the Tanunda office, but if they followed what I just suggested, it would take them to the Tanunda office if they were based in the Barossa, Light and Lower North region. If, on the other hand, they were based in the Adelaide Hills region, my colleague, Michelle Busto, who also works for Lutheran Care, she would support them in that part of the world. And the number for Lutheran Care for both offices would be 0885622688, or you could email us on communityconnections@lutherancare.org.au. But as I say, if you're not in either the Barossa, Light and Lower North or the Adelaide Hills, you're in another location, there is a whole constellation of different providers who provide community service program workers, and all you have to do to find them is hop onto that DHS website, type in your address, and it will give you that direct access information.
And Martin, how do people become involved with the program as a coordinator, as a worker in the Community Connections program? Do they need qualifications for this? Generally, what stream do they come through, or is it varied?
Well, that's a really interesting question. For myself, I have a background in psychology, and I'm a regional coordinating partner for the Community Connections program in my region. The community partners who provide this service are mainly social workers, and then there are also Aboriginal support partners who would have unique qualifications to be strong in community and help there. So there's a range of different areas of expertise, but I would suggest that perhaps the thing that links them all is that those workers really want their participants to succeed and to move closer to the goals that they've set in their lives.
So you set a goal plan for the person that you're seeing?
That's exactly right. And there's, again, as many ways of doing that as one can imagine. But a typical way, at least at Lutheran Care, is to go through something called an eco-map, which looks at different domains, for example, one's friends and family, one's health, one's well-being, different sort of domains, if you like, which you may not have looked at your life in that particular manner, because often we just kind of go through without taking a moment. We're working so hard, you know, oh, we'll do that later. And it can be handy to sequence through these different areas just in case something leaps off the page. I can give perhaps one example. In my own life, years ago, I took a job in remote Australia, and I got to see my friends and family about six times a year. And it sounds ridiculous that I wouldn't instantly realize that this was not sustainable and was bad for my own well-being, but it took a friend saying to me, what are you doing? You've effectively made your wife a single mother, and you're never seeing your friends really to keep up those relationships. And so having that person give one a heads up so you can do a course correct, I was lucky enough to have someone do that for me. But the Community Connections program is this program which can perhaps help people and sort of give permission to take that long view and think, is there any aspect of my well-being which is suffering because I'm working so hard, or I'm so concerned about housing issues or cost of living or whatever other issue has occurred, I haven't really had the chance to, you know, get up to speed with some important point.
And Martin, the program's called Community Connections. Is it the connections that the worker is actually helping with, a referral point? That concept of I've heard no wrong door?
Yes, the general idea is for the worker to ensure that the participant either gets a really great connection with a service they've not even contemplated. An example might be free financial counselling. Financial counsellors will look at all the income one is getting in. It could be salary, could be Centrelink, could be various concessions, could be other aspects, and try and boost all of that income. They'll also look at outgoings and see what concessions and other elements could be reduced there. A good example might be suddenly out of the blue, especially during winter, you get an enormous electricity bill, which no reasonable person could pay. You know, it's very troublesome. And one may not be aware that a financial counsellor could speak to the hardship section, perhaps, of the electricity company and get them to agree to split that large payment up into a manageable bite-size fortnightly payment. And suddenly that potential worry comes off the table because a resolution has been found. So that's an example of a new service that one might not have considered. But the other important thing for workers to do, because they like to do warm referrals, i.e. not just go, here's a number, phone that, good luck. More like, have you spoken to Bob? Bob's an expert in whatever. Let me get Bob on the line right now. Or would you like me to go with you to meet Bob? And Bob is perhaps a personal counsellor or one of an infinity list of other services. And then make that really strong connection so that the participant can feel confident that they've spoken to the worker. They've hopefully established a really good relationship with the worker and can trust that person's opinion. And then now that worker is personally introducing them to that third party who's now part of the team that can support that individual. And so it's either strengthening relationships with services in that way, or providing, you know, outside the box thinking to add a key service that one might not have considered previously.
And Martin, two things come to mind for me when you've just been talking about this is it's the trust in the relationship you develop with the person who's been referred, but also the support that you provide, because people may know things are available, they just won't make that first step and they won't go alone.
I couldn't agree more. There's a difference between knowing what a potential solution might be and actually taking it forward. And in fact, to quote a participant who very kindly agreed to allow their story to be utilised more widely, because I think it gives a nice example of how that first step can lead to all other steps. So the participant wrote in to say, I often thought my social isolation was just a normal part of my life, and in essence, I didn't mind my own company. When my circumstances changed, I realised that my social isolation was more than just me being comfortable with my own company. It was actually creating barriers to returning to a normal social interaction with people. I was consumed by anxiety and depression, and my own social phobias made me withdraw even more. A chance meeting led me to the Lutheran Care Community Connections Program. I met a lovely, kind, caring and knowledgeable participation worker. Through her patience, understanding and encouragement, I took that first very important step to return to a social connection. It wasn't easy, but I made a decision to change my circumstances, because without change, nothing was going to happen. I took a deep breath, left my anxieties at the door, and went in and attended a coffee talk morning. It was such a relief to be so warmly welcomed. It was fun and light-hearted, and such a joy to talk to people and to be amongst people.
Great story. And Martin, our community centres are seeing people who get referred to you, but on the flip side of that, you also refer people to the community centres.
Absolutely. If there's a better store of positive options in a community centre, I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm always a great fan of efficiency. I think many people are these days because life is so busy. And if you can go to that one place that has all sorts of different options to be supportive and helpful, I think that's a great bet to place. Much like the Community Connections Programme, you don't need to memorise 1,000 different programmes. You can just memorise that one programme and they will connect you with the others that are useful. Again, if you go to a community centre, that one location is very likely to be able to connect you with other programs and supports probably available right there on the premises, which will be of use.
And it's, of course, place-based, just like the Community Connections program, having that spread. Is you're referring someone to somewhere local?
Absolutely. This is all about local options. With the cost of petrol, etc., that's all to the good.
And that can be a barrier as well as transport, so you don't want to be going long distances. Martin, I know there's a lot of stories that have been collected over the time. Is there a trend that you see of people that you help? Is there more a particular part of society demographic, or is it just very broad?
Do you know, I think I'm going to say it's very broad. I meant what I said at the beginning of this podcast, that I felt this information would be of use to everyone listening, either because they themselves would think, that could be helpful for me, or because they would know someone down the road or a friend or family member that this would all apply to. Because it doesn't matter in what sort of area you live, what your personal situation is, you could suddenly become an unpaid carer looking after a partner or perhaps a child. In fact, many people are unaware that when something like that happens, there are supports available, but they think, oh, I'm just being a normal partner. I'm just being a good parent. And they are, but they're not aware that because they're technically an unpaid carer, there are lots of other supports which they have a right to access and they should access because it's got to be sustainable. You can't do everything everywhere all at once. You need to be able to have the supplies and the resources that will enable you to carry on to the end.
And of course, knowledge is power. I'm talking to Martin Walton, who is Regional Coordinator for Community Connections Program and based out of Lutheran Care in the Barossa Valley. Martin, another big part of this of where we're moving to in community services is social prescribing, which I believe is very well entrenched in the UK. And if people have been listening today, you will have heard a bit of accent from Martin. That's where he hails from originally. Talk to us about social prescribing. What does that actually mean?
Yes, no, originally from London, and I'm very, very fortunate to marry a lovely Australian girl and be able to live in this beautiful, beautiful country. Yes, the idea of social prescribing is really the origin story, perhaps, of community connection. Because if you think about what happens with connecting with health networks, I think all of us know how to navigate well through health services. If we're not feeling 100%, we don't attempt to self-diagnose, we don't attempt to work out which medical specialty is the correct one to help us, and we don't then go out into the world and try and find the right specialist in the right area who's local to us to help us. We're not expected to do all of those things. What do? Well, we just go along to our trusty GP, and that GP does all of that for us. And actually, GPs are quite amazing. They do all of that in 10-minute time span, plus the paperwork, plus working out what the issue is, plus deploying the countermeasure and making the introduction. It's extremely impressive. But what social prescribing identified was that the added social elements, because one might not just have a medical issue, one might have a social issue as well. And remember, all of these things, it's like a seesaw. They work together. If you're working too hard at work and getting drained, then when the flu comes around, you're likely to get absolutely hammered with it because your well-being wasn't at 100%. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But essentially, in the GP's office, probably the GP doesn't have the opportunity or the resources to work out all of these other social factors that could be supported with existing local services. So social prescribing is the concept that something needs to be done to address this problem. It's widely used in the UK and the US. In fact, I was lucky enough to recently publish a paper with Flinders University about how best to work with the community to try this system out in the Barossa. But in fact, Community Connections Programme has, I think, jumped the gun a little bit in being the solution to the problem which academics are researching even as we speak in South Australia. So, like the GP, having that one point of contact who can look holistically at all the different elements of your life, provide you with a range of potential options, and then you, being the expert in your own life, you can look at that and go, oh yes, that one would work for me. That one, maybe later, but let's say going to the local community centre, that might be a really, really good option just to try out. And you can see from that example of the lady that went along to that coffee morning, that one step is such an important step because, you know, the longest journey starts with a single step. That's the hardest one to do. And I take my hat off to everyone that does pick up the phone and has the courage to do that because it's not easy. But as you said, Kerry, knowledge is power. Once you know of a potential option, plants the seeds, and one can perhaps build up to having the courage to go, yes, I'll pick up the phone.
And Martin, is this a little bit like alternative health therapies, if you like, and modalities, which has come into being a lot of recent times and people are far more accepting, is that instead of being prescribed a medical prescriptive drug, this is social. This is about prescribing a social activity to help address social issues.
Yes, I think that there are similarities. I suspect in the medical field, leaving everything to GPs is probably a good way to go. But in the fields of well-being, which, as defined by Professor Martin Singh Seligman in his PERMA theory, is positive emotions, engagement, positive relationships, meaning and accomplishment, those five elements, you can see they all have a very strong social dimension. And so it does turn out that whilst it's perfectly fine to be by oneself, one can be a lighthouse keeper and have a happy life and everything can go perfectly. But in general terms, most of us prefer to have some contact with individuals, and it can be easy, you know, like a frog in boiling water, for things to move in a direction which is not optimal. But because one is so flat out working or earning or looking after other people, whatever the thing is, we almost don't give ourselves permission to look at ourselves. And that's why an objective third party can perhaps look in and go, aha, there is an off-ramp there, and there's an alternative there, and there's an option there, just to let you know. And then when someone says it to us, something happens in our mind and we think, ah, I can't believe I didn't see it. Just like my example of myself, where I couldn't see the trap I'd fallen into, and it took a third party to helpfully point me in the right direction. But everyone should have that opportunity.
So it's a little bit like putting on your oxygen mask first before you help others. It's that self-care, which people often don't give themselves permission to do.
I think that is an absolutely perfect analogy.
Martin, if you were to be able to bring people onto this program, and I was sitting listening to this today, what should people say to someone? So, oh, I've heard about this program. What's the best way for them to refer people in? How would they explain it?
I think I would probably say something along the lines of, your well-being is important, and you have absolutely nothing to lose by having someone have a chat about this subject. It's a bit like, you know, people get their cars serviced. They get all sorts of different things in their life given a bit of a checkup or a review just to make sure that everything is going well. I think well-being is really important, and being kind to ourselves. We often just go flat out, go for your life, as Australians say. Life is perhaps a marathon, not a sprint. And if you do just keep on sprinting, at some point, you're likely to trip up. So I think being kind to yourself and giving yourself permission to do something which is good for you is a good way to go.
So, Martin, again, just how do people find this program? You had a great way of them looking it up.
Yes, well, literally Google, quote, how to access Community Connections program. And the first hit is going to be that DHS website. Alternatively, one could Google Lutheran Care Community Connections program if you happen to be in the Brossa, Light and Lower North or the Adelaide Hills, because that's my lot. Or you could call Lutheran Care on 08 8562 2688, or you could email Lutheran Care on communityconnections@lutherancare.org.au. But the fact is, there is no wrong door. So I've had plenty of people call me accidentally, and whichever region they're in, I will put them on to my counterparts in that part of the world, because we're all working together. And I think that's something that works really well. We should all try and work together to help each other.
Well, thank you, Martin, for talking about this very important program, Community Connections.
Thank you so much, Kerry.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.